Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. So pleased to have Jay Sotola and Ola Dooney here. They've traveled with their daughter Tahila earlier in November of 2023. And we had been in touch via email before their arrival. Just so grateful that Olu and Esther were able to have a place where they could stay. And so they're with Olu and Esther. And it's just been marvelous how the Lord has knit them together with our hearts. They're Foursquare family, but they have quickly become Cornerstone family. As we watch how the Lord is leading and guiding and directing their steps, as Ola Dooney is looking forward to completing her PhD at the University of Calgary. That's why they're here. The Lord led them specifically to Calgary for that. As he continues to discover his path and open doors for his medical practice, he's a doctor. Not only that, as he's a Foursquare pastor, he's ordained in Nigeria, their family. And so I would like to invite you to give a warm Cornerstone welcome for the first time that he's preaching here, and open your hearts to what the Lord would say through Dr. Reverend Mr. Jay Sotola.
Hallelujah. I don't know who that is. Reverend, I don't know who that is. That's not me. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege to share your word together. Lord, we open our hearts to receive your word. And we thank you because your word makes all the difference. Thank you because the entrance of your word gives us light. It gives us understanding. Thank you because we move from simplicity to wisdom. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, this morning, do that which only you can do. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that as we receive your word today, as I share your word, as we receive your word together, thank you because when we leave this place, we will not be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to thank Pastor Barry and the leadership of this house. Thank you for the privilege to be a blessing to God's people. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you all. Thank you for you've received us so warmly. You know, I'm talking to the entire Cornerstone family now. You've received us so warmly. You know, you said we've moved from being just a Foursquare family to being a Cornerstone family. Yes, that's very, very true. And we're glad to be here. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's dig into it. Let's dig in. If you have the church app on your phone, you can just open and you can easily click on the scriptures there. Now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but I discovered that the best thing is to long press on those Bible verses. If you click on them, it takes you to another site. But if you, of course, it takes you to a site where you'll see the scriptures. But if you long press on those Bible verses, it will bring out the content of each verse right there on the app. Hallelujah. All right, so this morning we're looking at the topic good works. This is something that God laid on my heart in 2021 while I was meditating on the book of Ephesians. And I got to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I must say I was stuck in Ephesians 2:10 for, I don't remember exactly how many months, but I was there for months, you know, just seeing what God was showing me about good works. And if you don't mind, we'll just read Ephesians 2:10 together. If you don't mind, I'd like you to read it out loud with me. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If you don't mind, I'd like you to read it one more time, but this time personalize it. Instead of the "we," it will become "I am." All right, let's go 1, 2. "For I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that I should walk in them." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, "I'm God's workmanship." Hey, hallelujah. We'll read one more scripture, but this one I'll just read it. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, "Just as he chose us in him," that's in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, Does that remind you of something in Ephesians 2:10? He said, which God has before ordained. All right, so there are certain things God has done before. This is one of them. He says he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I wrote there, I said, before the foundation of the world, God had good works that he needed done. Now, it sounds a bit counterintuitive to say that God had something he needed done and for some reason he needed someone else to do it for him. But that's the truth. God more often than not needs someone to do something on his behalf. Not because he is unable, he is actually omnipotent, all able, right? But scripture says in Psalm 115 verse 16, for example, he says that the earth, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. And God made that very clear in Genesis 1 when he said, let's make man in our own image and let them have dominion over this and that and that and that. And then he created a garden, put Adam in there and said, tend the garden, do this, do that. And one of the interesting things that God did with Adam I believe it was Genesis 2, was that he gave him a project. He said, name them, name the animals, all of that. But beyond just naming them, he said he was to take care of that garden. And ever since then, God has been giving assignments to man. He's been asking man to do one thing or the other for him. When I say man, of course, that's men, women, boys, and girls. He asks us to do certain things on his behalf. Now, from the very foundation of the world, God had certain good works that he needed to be done. And so he knew that that only a creation that was holy and blameless could fellowship with him. That word fellowship in the scriptures, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, when he says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That word fellowship there is the word, the Greek word koinonia, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia. And that word koinonia, as I usually say, it does not just mean communion in terms of intimacy, but it also means partnership. You see, and God knew that only a creation holy and blameless could fellowship with him, could koinonia with him, could commune with him, and also partner with him. So God created us in Christ Jesus. And he says he chose us in Ephesians 1:4. Remember, he says he chose us in him to be holy and blameless before him in love. There's a reason for it. There's a reason he washed us with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a reason he saved us, redeemed us from all iniquity. Titus chapter 2 verse 14 talks about the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself for us, redeemed us from all iniquity, that he might purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous for good works. That's the reason that he did that. That's the reason that he did that. Of course, if he did not do that, we would have been lost in sin. If he did not do that, we would have perished in hell and in eternal death. But in doing that, not only did he save us from sin, not only did he bring us out of iniquity, not only did he rescue us from hell, having been rescued, there's a reason that he has called us unto himself. And Ephesians 2:10 makes us to understand. Titus 2:14 makes us to understand that the reason is that we might do the good works that he had in mind, that he prepared, preordained before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah to Jesus. So God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before him in love so that we can koinonia with him to do those good works. And I wrote here, I said, God has certified us as fit, F-I-T, fit for koinonia, fit for intimate communion, fit for purposeful partnership, fit for good works. And I was just going to make this confession together, because if he says we are God's workmanship, you can understand that God does not make defective products. Can God make a defective product? It's not possible. He's a good God and he's a perfect God. He makes good products. He doesn't make fakes. Hallelujah. All right. So we're just going to declare that together. Say with me, say, I am God's workmanship. I am God's product. I am that which God has made. Oh, say it like you mean it. Say, I'm that which God has made. I am not a defective product. I am a perfect product. Made exactly as intended. Made according to specification. God made me to understand some years ago, we're going to continue that confession, but God made me to understand some years ago that even when I consider the things that I might think are my imperfections and my weaknesses and all of that, of course, work on your weaknesses. I work on my weaknesses. Hallelujah. But there are certain things that sometimes we think are disadvantages to us. And God says, no, I made you. I know what I packaged into you. And I know why I designed you that way. You were made for a purpose. You were designed with a specific intent in mind. Say with me, say, I have passed the tests of God's standard. There's no manufacturer that makes things and doesn't test them to be sure that they are what? Up to standard, right? I have passed the tests of God's standard. Say with me, say, I have passed the tests of God's standard. I have been certified and stamped. I am God's workmanship. Made by God. Made in heaven. Made in Christ Jesus. Not made in China or Italy or here in Canada. But made in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we go further to see that we are in good company when it comes to the doing of good works. Because we're God's workmanship. He worked and made us. And then we are to do good works. Now, when it comes to the doing of good works, it means we're going to work, right? To do good works, we're going to work. And when we work, we're in good company. God works. God works. He works. The Father works. John 5:17. The Father works. He said, my Father, that's Jesus. He said, my Father worketh either to, or my Father worketh until now, and so I do what? I work. The Father works. Jesus worked when he was on the earth. Of course, that John 5:17 tells us that. John 9:4 also tells us that. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So Jesus worked when he was on the earth. And he still works. He hasn't stopped working. Yes, he's seated at the right hand of God, but Hebrews 7:25 makes us to understand that he ever lives. He said he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him because he ever lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus works. He continues to work until now. But the work he does now, because of course, he has worked and he has finished that work. We call it the finished works of Jesus Christ. When we took communion this morning, we were rejoicing in the finished works of Jesus Christ. But there's still a work that Jesus continues to do, and that is the work of intercession. Jesus works. The Spirit of God works. When Jesus was on earth, the Spirit of God worked in him and through him. John 14:10, the words that I speak are not my words, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And we know that the Father never left his throne in heaven. So for him to have said the Father that dwelleth in me was referring to the indwelling presence of the Spirit. And now today the Spirit works in us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is the member of the Godhead that dwells physically in us? It's the Holy Spirit. So he works in us. So the Father works, Jesus works, the Spirit works, so I work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in good company. And then there's a good measure of supply, because when we talk about good works, we must remember, we must be careful not to enter into either dead works or fleshly works or any other kind of works that God has made us to understand will not amount to anything before him. It is possible, and that's why scripture is emphatic that we are not saved by our works. We're not saved by our works. But when we have become saved, when we've been washed with the blood, when we've been purified unto him, he says he has done that so that we can do certain works. But even in doing those works, he does not just stand and demand of us and say, come on, stand up, do this work for me. No, he doesn't just demand. God is a gracious God. He always supplies, either before he demands or as he's demanding, the demand is coming with a supply. There's a supply of grace. There's a supply of ability. There's a supply of what it takes to do the works that God has preordained for us. And if we just look very quickly at some dimensions of that supply, already there I said God's supply of grace to enable us to do good works is immeasurable. It's an immeasurable supply of grace. First of all, in the new birth, he purified us for good works. That was him doing something. He purified us for good works. Purified us unto himself, a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. Furthermore, he has given us his word to equip us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us, he says that every scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, the boy, the girl of God, amen, may be complete and perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he's given us his word to equip us for good works. He has given us his spirit to empower us. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus Tola of Canada, how God anointed, mention your name, how God anointed, you're saying it like you're not sure, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Somebody say, God is with me. Say it again, please. Say, God is with me. Hallelujah. And of course, we know that not only did he do it for Jesus, the reason we can say that our God anointed Jesus of Canada is because Jesus told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. So we know that he has anointed us. Our God anointed Jesus Tola of Canada with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Oh, God is with me. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And then he has given us ministry gifts to prepare us. In Cornerstone, he has given us Pastor Barry to prepare us. He has given us Pastor Chris to prepare us. He has given us I call her Pastor Shauna. She doesn't particularly like it, so let me call her Sister Shauna. He has given us Sister Shauna to prepare us. Hallelujah. And many other ministry gifts he has given us to do what? To prepare us for good works. Titus 3, that's what Paul told Titus. Titus was a pastor, a bishop. And Paul told him, he said, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary. He said, teach them these things that they may be careful to maintain good works, for it is profitable. And then he has given us other believers to provoke us unto love. Provoke doesn't usually sound like a good word, but in scriptures it can be. Hallelujah. We can be provoked unto something good. He said, let us learn to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. And if I must say, because of that, every good work must be motivated by love. Hallelujah. If it's not motivated by love, it ceases to be a good work. Jesus was motivated by love. Love made him to come. When he healed the sick, he was moved by compassion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And finally, reveals to us that by choosing to live holy, we make ourselves ready for good works. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. He said there, if I remember correctly, he said, okay, I'll just long click. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And then he supplies grace for us to do it. He supplies grace. Somebody please lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive grace. Lord, I receive the grace that you supply in the name of Jesus. Amen. How blessed we are. Such a rich supply of grace. Hallelujah. And very quickly, we'll just look at some categories of good works. Because good works are in different dimensions, different domains, different categories. There are different types of good works. But we'll just look at some categories of good works. This is not necessarily an exhaustive list, but it's what I've seen in scriptures. Number one category is industry. Good service towards employers, clients, and leaders. Does it mean that when I go out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Friday, Saturday, a few people on Sunday, to do my work, it's possible that God sees it as a good work? Yes, it is. It depends on how you do it. It depends on how you do that work. Do you do it wholeheartedly? Do you do it as unto the Lord? Do you do it as a pleaser of men or as to the Lord Christ? Colossians 3:22-25 makes that very clear. It says bond servants. Of course, today we do not have a servant-master relationship, but we have employer-employee relationships. We have client-client relationships, etc., etc. But it says bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it from the heart. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Hallelujah. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the recompense. My own stops there. It says receive the. But, all right. but I remember that's what he says. He says you receive the reward. You receive the recompense. So God can actually reward you for the work that you're doing 9 to 5 and getting a wage for. The same work that man is paying you a wage for, God can still do what? Reward you for it. If you do it the way he wants it done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I've always worked for 2 employers at a time. I've always worked for somebody, a hospital, etc. But I've also at the same time always worked for who? For the Lord Christ. He's been my employer for the last 10 years. And he's been a wonderful employer. Ah, such a wonderful employer. He never cheats. He never undercuts you. He never... He's been a wonderful employer. Is God your employer? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Because of time, we'll just move on. Number 2, dimension or category of good works, holy living. As much as holy living prepares us for good works, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, there's also something about holy living that makes it a good work in itself, or makes it a domain of good works, in the sense that, you remember scripture says in Isaiah, it says, cease to do evil, learn to do good, or cease to do evil, learn to do right. So it's not enough to just cease to do evil. Do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness. It's also important to learn to do what? To do right or to do good. You see, so there's that part of holy living that goes beyond, I have stopped doing evil, that enters into, I have begun to do good. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter 2:12 makes that very clear. I usually say that 1 Peter 2:12 is an explanation of Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16 seems a bit obscure sometimes because it simply says that let your light so shine before men, right? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And sometimes one wonders, okay, what are those good works? But 1 Peter 2:12 makes it very clear. It says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. So the good works that he was talking about there, he was talking about our conduct. Glory to Jesus. The third dimension or domain or category of good works, ministry. Ministry. And before we zone into, pastor, evangelist, apostle, prophet, teacher, first of all, let's remember that ministry is anything that is done for the sake of God and his people. And an example of that is Nehemiah. That's why I put those 2 scriptures there. Nehemiah 5:19 and 13:14. In those 2 scriptures, Nehemiah prayed to God and said, remember me for the good deeds, the good works that I have done. In one place he said, for the good deeds that I have done for these people. In another place he said, for the good deeds that I have done because of your house and the services thereof. Whatever you do, that you do because of God and his people, God sees it as ministry. And there's a reward for it. Hallelujah to Jesus. But then we will now cone down specifically to the office of a bishop or the office of a pastor, etc., etc. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he said, if any man desires the office of a bishop or a pastor, overseer, he says he desires a good work. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. He desires a good work. So the fivefold ministry too is what? It's a good work. It's a good work. There's a habit I've seen in my generation. I don't know if it happens on this side of the world, but where I came from, in my generation, I saw a lot of people that had this tendency to say, no, I don't want to be a pastor. No, I don't want, I don't want to go into the ministry. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a good work. Praise God. It's a good work. And there's a reward for it. Number 4 dimension of good works, purpose. First of all, talking about God's specific assignment for an individual. And I believe very strongly that God has an assignment for every single person. Every single person that he created. God had a reason that he created them. And Ephesians 2:10 makes that clear. It says the good works that he preordained. Preordained. Jeremiah 1:5, he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations, to root up and to pull down, to build and to destroy, to speak over the nations. He had an intention in mind. Acts 26 verse 18 is one of my best examples of God showing somebody his purpose or defining for a person his purpose. He spoke to Saul, Saul, who later became Paul. And Paul in Acts 26 verse 18 was giving reported speech of what Jesus told him on the road to Damascus, or maybe some time in the 3 days that he was fasting or something. He told him, I've called you, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. But he now told him what he was sending him to them to do when he gets there, to the Gentiles. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from Satan, from the power of Satan unto God. To turn them from darkness to light. Very clear, very specific, very intentional in what he told him. God has an assignment for each one of us. And when we discover it by the help of the Holy Spirit and we begin to do it, God sees it as a good work. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And of course, Jesus' own was very, very simple, very straightforward. The angel told Mary, he will save his people from their sins. Full stop. If he had healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils and did not save his people from their sins, he did not fulfill his purpose. But having done all of that, which was important because the scriptures had also declared that it had been prophesied, himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, all of that. But having done all of that, he saved his people from their sins. Hallelujah to Jesus. And then another side of purpose that I'll just like to call our attention to this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit is helping or enhancing another person's assignment. And this often has to do with simply doing what your hand finds to do. And it is precious to God. Many times we look at ourselves and say, I can't do this. I don't know how to do that. I don't have this ability. I don't have that ability. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't act. I can't do this. I can't do that. What can you do? Whatever you can do, it's precious to God. That's what I discovered when I was studying this. In Mark 14, 6 to 8, it's there. You can just long click on it. It says, Jesus said, this was the woman that, apparently this woman was not was a woman of easy virtue from what was happening in the environment. But so there were many things she could not do. But she thought to herself, what can I do? What can I do? I can put all the money I've gained together and buy an alabaster box of spikenard ointment. And I can make my way to where Jesus is, break it, pour it on his head. I used to think it was his feet until I was reading it again. Pour it on his head. I don't know what she was thinking when she did that. But Jesus says concerning her, he said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done what? A good work for me. Jesus called it a good work. Not only that, Jesus said that, we can skip verse 7. He said in verse 8, she has done what she could. Do what you can. Jesus values it. It is precious to God. It is precious to God. Oh, I can't drum. I can't play the keyboard. Can you visit? Can you pray for somebody? Can you welcome people in the foyer? Can you, whatever it is that you can do, do it. Hallelujah. It is precious to God. Jesus said she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. I'm not sure she knew the implication of what she was doing. But Jesus said this is what she has done. She has come to prepare my body for burial. And of course, that was an integral part of the good works that he came to do as his own assignment, to save his people from their sins. So whether intentionally or by mistake, she got involved in Jesus's assignment. And Jesus said, this thing that she has done will be spoken of her anywhere the gospel is preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I encourage you, brethren, whatever it is that you can do, do it. You never know how far it will go. You don't know how precious it is to God. Hallelujah. And of course, it's precious to people. Amen. And finally, not finally. Good works of power. Oh, I love this part. Good works of power. Good works of power. Somebody say power. Hey, glory to God. Now, in Nigeria, we call it power. All right. But I think here you call it power. Power. But it doesn't sound so powerful when you call it power. You know, it sounds more powerful when you call it power. All right. But for the purpose of this teaching, I'm going to call it power. Amen. All right. Praise God. Works of power that we do in the name of Jesus, exactly as Jesus did them. We do them now in his stead, in his place. Because he said in John 14:12, he said, he that believes on me, this, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I, Jesus, go to my Father. That means I will no longer be here. I will no longer be physically present. So whoever believes on me will be physically present in my stead, in my place. And not only that, he said, when I go to the Father, I will ask him and he will send the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit by whom I have done the works that I have done all this while. He will send the Holy Spirit. And now he has sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The Holy Spirit has come. He lives in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The same ability, the same power, the same, I did it again, the same power. Amen. The same Spirit by whom Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out devils and opened blind eyes and caused the lame to walk and caused the blind to see and cleansed lepers. Scripture says that he drove out devils with a word. That means if you heard Jesus casting out devils, you just hear, go, out, gone. A word. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time I used to spend 3 hours casting out devils. Yeah. A time, once upon a time, 3 hours, sweating, go in the name of Jesus. But when I saw this scripture, he cast out devils with a word, I said, never again, no more 3 hours. 3 hours of my time. Minimum wage in Canada, that's $45. That's no devil is worth $45. Hallelujah. Praise God. So when I learned that, I stopped spending 3 hours. It's a word, go out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And of course, many times the demon will do all the tearing apart. They did that to Jesus. I mean, he cast the devil out of that boy, that epileptic boy, and that had a lot of seizures and all of that were demon induced. And then I would think that if Jesus said to a demon, go, the demon would just go. No stories, no dilly-dallying, and no shilly-shallying, as some people say. But the demon didn't do that. Scripture says that the demon took the boy, tore him, and threw him to the ground and did a lot of what I call drama. But then, suddenly, the boy got quiet. And everybody said, he has killed him. The boy is dead. But Jesus said, no, he's not dead. Took him by the hand, lifted him up and said, Father, take your son. Hallelujah. So when they do all the drama, no need to keep shouting and sweating and They did that in the scriptures too. So we learn from Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And Jesus gave express examples of what the works of power that we would do in his name would look like. He said, first of all, that they would be like the works that he had done. He said, the works that I do. And then he said, greater works. And then in Mark 16:17-18, he now told us, he said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils or demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And somebody says, why will I go looking for serpents to take up? But remember the story of Paul, right? How he was on that island where they were stranded because of the shipwreck. And then as he was throwing sticks into the fire, because of the warmth of the fire, a snake came out. Scripture calls it a venomous beast. Most likely a viper or something. And then it fastened itself on his hand. Most likely it was just describing that he beat him, because the Bible says that the people of that region, apparently they must have recognized that particular species of snake, and they said very soon he's going to swell up and die. But after some time they observed that he did not swell up and die, and they changed their mind. They said, he's not a criminal, he's a god. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright, so of course we won't go around looking for snakes to pick up, but if it should happen that we come into contact with one of such, scripture says that we will not be harmed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I believe it. And he says, if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. He said, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I love this part so much. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. When last did you put your hands on the sick? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If it's been some time, look for the sick and put your hands on them and cause them to recover in the name of Jesus. Once upon a time, in laying hands on the sick, there were more that did not get healed than those that got healed once upon a time. And it looked like what's happening. But today I can testify that there are more that get healed than don't get healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. But that shift would not have happened if I gave up after the first person that I laid hands on died. Oh, well, it wasn't the first person, praise God, that I laid hands on, you know. But if I had given up when somebody died, of course, not like they died as I laid hands on them, amen, amen. They didn't die when I laid hands on them, all right. But they eventually still died, and it looked like what's happening. The scripture says I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Why are the sick dying? And eventually I wrote something. I wrote, when you lay hands on the sick, get sicker. It's just a blog post somewhere that I wrote. But basically, one of the most important things I learned over the years is not to give up. Not to give up. Not to give up, number one, on that particular sick person. And then number two, not to give up generally on ministering the healing power of God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe you've tried it before. It seemed like, okay, I laid hands on them, I prayed for them, I believed with all my heart, yet they died. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. Please don't give up. The scripture stands sure. The word of God is eternal. The word of God stands sure, and it cannot fail. It cannot fail. So we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He says shall, right? Let's use shall. We shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And finally, I think it's 30 minutes already, so I'll just rush through this last one. Giving and hospitality. It's also a domain of good works. It's a dimension of good works. Giving and hospitality. 1 Timothy 6:18, Paul told Timothy, he said, charge them that are rich in this world. And he was not talking about unbelievers. He was talking about believers that are rich, just like we are rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. So I charge you that are rich. Hallelujah. And I charge myself because I'm rich too. Glory to God. I charge them that are rich in this world. He said, charge them not to what? Not to be high-minded, number one. Number two, not to trust in uncertain riches. Why? Money has wings and it can fly away. Scripture says in Proverbs. But to trust rather in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He now goes further. He says, charge them that they be what? Ready to distribute. Distribute what? What they have, the wealth that they have. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. That word communicate, they have something to do with the ministry of mercy, where you see somebody that is in need, somebody that is hailing, somebody that has a great need in their lives, and you empathize with them, and your money empathizes with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Willing to communicate, to be part of their suffering by helping out. He said, when you do that, you are laying up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come. He says, when you do that, you lay hold on eternal life. You lay hold. Of course, we can't buy eternal life with money. It's not possible. You see, but we must learn to hold money lightly and hold eternal life tightly. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. And another example of giving and hospitality, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, Paul told Timothy, he said, don't take a widow into the number under the age of 60 years. So if you know any widow that is below 60 years, please tell them after this service that they can go and get married again if they want to. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. But the point there that he was making was not necessarily to say, go and get married. But he was essentially saying, don't take them into the number in terms of the daily care of the widows by the church. He said, but apart from the fact that they should be 60 years and above, he said, such widows must be well reported of for good works. He now described the kind of good works. He said, if she has raised children, hallelujah. I'm sure many mothers would be glad to hear that. That the raising of your children itself, God considers it a good work. Depending, of course, on how you do it. But I know you do it right. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. If she has raised children, if she has washed the feet of the saints, if she has lodged strangers. Scripture says, let's be mindful to entertain strangers. If she has lodged strangers, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has pursued every good work. Another example of that is Acts chapter 9, Dorcas. The scripture says concerning her that the widows came and, number one, she was well reported of for good works and alms deeds. That means giving to the poor. And then when Peter got there, widows came and showed him garments and dresses and all manner of clothes and said, this is what Dorcas made for me when she was alive. She took care of widows. She took care of widows. And James 1:27 makes it clear that God, of course, God looks at us through the lens of Jesus Christ. But also, there's something about how God weighs. And he says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. That we visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. and that we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Of course, we don't visit them just to say hello. Hallelujah. We visit them in their affliction. That means we help them. We take care of them. Glory to Jesus. All these are different dimensions of good works that God has called us to. That God has called us to. And I thank God because there is such an abundant supply of grace for good works. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. If you don't mind, please, let's read that one together. Okay, it seems like I removed it from the list because I made some... If you have your Bible with you, please open. But it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, if you can read it with me, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may do what? Abound to every good work. There is grace for good works. In the next few moments, I want to just go ahead and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I receive grace for good works. I receive grace to do the works that you have preordained, prepared for me to do. I want to just talk to the Lord. Lord, I receive grace. I receive your grace. There's a supply of grace for good works. There's a supply. There's a supply. There's a supply. There's a supply of grace for every kind of good work. There's a supply. Whether they're good works of power, good works of giving, good works of holy living, grace to live above sin, grace to walk in the power that God has made available to us, or grace to give. There's a supply. There's a supply of grace for good works. Lord, I receive. I receive. I receive that supply. In the name of Jesus, I receive that supply. I receive that supply. Of course, for you to be praying that prayer, you must already be born again, all right? If you're not yet born again, in the next few minutes, Pastor Barry is going to pray with you and lead you to Jesus. But if you're born again, you can pray that prayer and say, Lord, I receive grace for good works. Grace for good works. Grace for good works in my place of work. Grace for good works where ministry is concerned. Doing things for the sake of God and his people. Grace for good works where holy living is concerned. Grace to live above sin. Scripture says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and every kind of lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Grace for good works. Grace, 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 your grace. I receive the supply of your grace in the name of the Lord Jesus. I receive the supply of your grace. I receive the supply of your grace that I will stand boldly in faith to heal the sick in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has given me that authority and that assignment. So in the name of Jesus, I receive your grace. I receive your grace and grace to give. There's such a thing as grace to give. It's a grace. I receive that grace in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grace to give, grace to be a blessing to the poor, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Grace, I receive your grace. Grace for good works. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory this morning. Hallelujah to your name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the supply of your grace. Thank you for your word that is preparing us. Thank you for your spirit strengthening and empowering us. Thank you for ministry gifts that you have provided to prepare us. Thank you for your word that you have sent this morning. And thank you for grace that you're supplying. Hallelujah to your name. Lord, we thank you because as a church and as individuals and as families, like never before, Lord, we will walk in your plan. We will walk in the good works that you have prepared for us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you because as we step out to do the things that our hands find to do, and as we step out to do the things that you're laying on our hearts, in our spirits, Lord, we thank you because we'll find that you are working with us, confirming your word. We'll find that we are on a daily basis a blessing to people. We will find that on a daily basis we are doing your will and completing your work in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you because when the Lord shall come, when the Lord shall return, we shall receive a mighty reward. Hallelujah. Glory to your name forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.